The summer series on Psalm 23, we're following a book by a real shepherd, Philip Keller, grew up in East Africa among the shepherd boys there and knew what shepherding was like in Bible times, later became a shepherd in America, a professor of agriculture, studied the science of it, great insights, as today in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We pray. Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we follow you because you are so good. Bless us with renewed faith and energy and courage today so that we will always listen to your voice and follow wherever you lead. Lord, onward and upward for your mercy's sake. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, dear sheep, several calls this past week, and they were not from telemarketers wanting to replace my roof. They kept saying, I called them, I'm calling you back. At least six of them. I asked them, none telemarketers. And one woman, rather scared, she had actually left me a voicemail, afraid that I had called about her brother who is suffering from terminal cancer in a local hospital, and that this was bad news. She was relieved to find out. We have a sermon coming up this weekend, I told her, and it just is so fitting for you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It was a wonderful opportunity, you know, no accidents. A wonderful opportunity to assure her, your good shepherd is with you. And I think she understood what that meant. It sounded like I was talking to a believer who really needed that encouragement at the time. And if not, maybe they'll look closer and listen better for the good shepherd who guides us all. There are needy souls out there, and you know them better than any of the rest of us do. God grant you the grace to hear what they're saying and see their need. They are sheep without a shepherd. Look at the compassion of our good shepherd. He set aside everything to feed those souls because they all need the consolation, the comfort that you and I have known week after week and day by day as we hear our good shepherd's voice and remember our baptism, even as we begin our services in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we receive that blessed sacrament of Christ's body and blood, our good shepherd is with us. He teaches us here in this half of verse 4, Psalm 23, to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. It's actually a good problem-solving strategy in so many ways in life. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, bad dream. Might be just be a good time to thank the Lord that whatever your imagination was saying to you, it never happened to you. Think about it. So much of what we can come up with never happened, Lord, thank you. That one too, never happened. Thank you, Lord. Or, Lord, thank you that I'm here. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and trust the Lord in protection and prosperity because he's the good shepherd. He has scouted out the ways. He's leading us always by the best route. Up to this point, it's as if the shepherd has these sheep. And there's one in particular that we've been listening to that is bragging across the fence at the neighbor's sheep who are, you know, on pastures, blasted brown, and remember that, all the disease and everything they have to put up with. And he's just saying, I got such a great shepherd. I am so glad to have the good shepherd as my shepherd. But there's a shift right now that takes place between verse 3 and 4 in the psalm. Honestly, wouldn't have noticed if somebody hadn't pointed it out to me, namely Philip Keller. He says he believes this is what was happening when Samuel went to the home of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint one of his sons as king. They go through seven sons, none of them are right, and he asks, don't you have another son? If I was Jesse, I'd think, really? Got to have more? Oh yeah, there is the youngest one. He's out there with the sheep. Maybe up in the high country, that's what Philip Keller thought, because this was common practice, still is, all over America. In the wintertime, the sheep are down there around the ranch house and so forth. And verses 1 to 3 are talking about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. Now you get to verse 4 and the pronoun shift to speaking to you lead me. See, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me, and so forth. There's an intimacy in these last three verses of Psalm 23 that suggested to Philip Keller that they're leaving the ranch house and going up into the high country. And there's only so many ways up into the high country. If you've ever traveled up in the mountains or hiked up in the mountains, you know that the best route is going to be through the dark valleys. As a sheep, you got to have questions. We're leaving home. For what? Don't know. Sheep can't imagine. What's up there? What's it like? Where are we headed? Probably more thoughts than a sheep would have, but you know the feelings as sheep, right? Where is God leading me here? What's the idea, Lord? Things have been so good. Why this? Why now? What's happening? Where are we going? For the sheep, maybe it's the worst case scenario that they have to leave the comfort of home and to go through all these dangerous ways on up to who knows where. But the shepherd is leading. And Keller asked this question about Christians. He says, we have this idea almost like we think that we don't have to go through these dark valleys with our shepherd. Somehow the shepherd is going to just airlift us. Send a helicopter. Took a pastor friend to the third highest mountain in Oregon. He thought he was going to have a heart attack up there and started asking delirious questions to me and my brother. How long will it take you to get me off this mountain? While he's going through the Christian questions, preparing for his death. Just retired recently from preaching and teaching, so he's still with us. But, you know, in those days, no cell phone. You run all the way down the mountain, all the way back to the car, drive back to the lodge, get somebody up there, and it could have been hours. How long? What, do we really think the Lord's going to send a helicopter and get us off the mountain? He knows the best route. He knows the best route for all of us. And because he is the good shepherd, we can trust him in the ways he leads. Looking back, some of you, very few of you, will be able to recognize where we were 30 years ago, a mile up the road in what was Snail Lake School at the time. Every Sunday, load up the trailer, because all that was there were chairs, the gym, the stage, and the snail and tennis shoes above the stage. That's the mascot. Made a good visual for sermons at times. But 3 years there, 1987 to 1990, before the Lord led us here, and so many things as I flash back in preparation for this, how the Holy Spirit has led us to give us not just a pastor, but another pastor and our administrative assistant, and so much education that goes on in the congregation and through our sister congregations and the schools, the volunteers. The fact that we can look back over struggles in finances over the years, but the most recent deficit that was identified would be set aside at $3.60 per member, per communicant member, or per giving unit that was. I think I divided by 75 on that. That's giving units. A giving unit, you like to be called a unit, that would be husband and wife and maybe a single. That's it. That's where we're at. Our hearts is what the Lord has always been looking for. And that's what's such a joy about being in this place at this time, is to see God working in the hearts of young and old, kids that were baptized here, growing up, going on, serving the Lord in so many ways. I thought about this scene and the best route because loading up the trailer in our garage of the parsonage at the time, Saturday nights, This old verse would flash through my mind, and I've said this and sung this to my heart so many times, I was surprised, honestly, to find out it's not in our hymnal. It's Isaac Watts. There's 21 of them in our new hymnal. But this is from the old 1941 Lutheran hymnal, and it's still there. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Why are we Christians in these last days so shocked that the world hates us when the Lord said they would? Why are we shocked that we have to go through dark valleys as we follow the Good Shepherd? Because every highway builder knows that you can't get over the pass to the other side unless you're going through a valley. A pass is basically a valley through. And to get up to that pass, it can be dark and narrow. The best routes are through the valleys. It's how the Lord leads us onward and upward to higher ground with God. It's an expression Christians use to talk about a time when they felt especially close to God. You want to remember that your feelings can lie to you sometimes. God's promises never fail. So sometimes your feelings have to catch up with your faith. Remember that. It's a helpful concept. Sometimes, maybe often, your feelings have to catch up with your faith. But the fact of the matter is, there are times, precious times, when you feel especially close to God, and that's what David is talking about here. He's leading me through the valleys, and I fear no evil in this darkness here, in the shady places, because you are with me, and you're leading me to higher ground. Keller, in this chapter, remembers 2 years of going on to higher ground with his dear wife, the mother of his children, dying of cancer, how he was there with her when she passed from grace to glory, without fear, sadness, tears, yes, but knowing that the shepherd was leading on to higher ground, that we are told that we are going through this valley. Isn't it amazing how the Lord can take one word and you find so much comfort in one word? You're not meant to die here. You're not meant to stay here. The Lord is leading you through this valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's just good to know that the good shepherd has the route all scouted out. He knows the easiest, best way up there. And Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, or in the NIV, God works in all things for the good of those who love him. It tells us, as we look back on these times, we will be amazed how the Lord picked the best route. You can come to those crossroads and those times in your life and think, wow, if it had gone the other way, that and this. It's not all by accident. None of it's by accident. He's guiding, he's leading, he's finding the gentlest, best way to the top. And he knows where there is refreshment along the way. Summertime for sheep can be especially hot, dry, and dusty. Keller remembered one summer when 10,000 sheep showed up on their ranch in a valley where the river flows through it, and the shepherds asked, "Can we water our sheep in your river?" He was glad to oblige, of course, because sheep will die otherwise. There has to be that water and that moisture. It's just the survival that the shepherd has to know where the water is so that when I walk through the valley, I don't have to fear. He's leading me. But you look back and you think, how would I have ever known the refreshment unless I had known the thirst? How would you ever know the good shepherd's skill unless you were up against a situation in some dark valley where you didn't know how to get out, you didn't know what to do, you just wanted to lie down and die? It happens to all of us. But you look back after the shepherd's leading and guiding and you say, yeah, that water came, that fresh water came. It might have been from a child in the family. Summertime, you're feeling bad. One of the kids starts singing a Christmas song like "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow, does that ever lift you up? It comes from fellow Christians, and it comes at times when you so much need it. Keller said that if he had not gone through that valley with his dear wife, he would never have really understood how this refreshment could come. He quotes here, "The strength, solace, and serene outlook imparted virtually every hour by the presence of God's gracious Spirit himself." The Holy Spirit in word remembered, Bible class, word preached, his holy sacraments. constantly comforting you so that you have the overflow for others. Remember, that's how the Holy Spirit talks about this. He pours this water of life into your heart, kind of like the rescue water that was put in the pulpit for the preacher today. This is from Vacation Bible School, Rescue 3:16. So this is rescue water. Good way to remember the water of life that the Lord gives us. He pours it in, but he doesn't stop when you've had enough. The word abundance is better translated. The EHV does this very consistently. This favorite word of the Apostle Paul is parasoio in the Greek. It means to overflow. It's better to translate overflow rather than abundance because you lose the picture. It's very Western thought to make these things intangible. But the overflow, then you think of your heart, and then he gives you a bigger heart, and he just keeps pouring more in. And everything that's in your heart is for you, but the overflow is for everyone else. We'll get that again in the last verse of Psalm 23. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we are comforted so that we can comfort others as they also go through the valley. And there is something so real about comfort that comes from someone who's been there before in similar circumstances. If God didn't give you those times, how would you comfort someone else? So we learn to sing, Savior, I follow on, guided by thee, seeing not yet the hand that leadeth me. Hushed be my heart and still, fear I no further ill, only to meet thy will, my will shall be. He knows where the refreshment is along the way, and he knows that the valleys sometimes will be so dark and so deep that the sun will only be there for a couple hours a day, if that, because it has to get way overhead. The sides of the mountain so steep, the water flowing through there, but that's where the lush green grass is growing too. The shepherd knows it, and so do the predators. So the mountain lions, wolves, they'll all be there, and the shepherd has to know. He has to get his flock to the high country through that valley, but he always has to be on watch. And not just for the predators, for the storms and the flash floods. Keller talks about one time leading his sheep up to the high country, trying to get them up to those alpine meadows, those beautiful places where the water flows clean and clear and where they can just eat all summer long in the cool. And he's leading them onward and upward, farther and farther, until finally they're up to the edge of the tree line and there's grass still. But then in the fall, the snows will come and kind of chase them back down the mountainside, back to the home ranch again. But grass is there and it's so thick and green. But these are thin-skinned creatures. Isn't that strange? Because when you think of a sheep that's got, you know, the wool on it, you'd think, well, they're going to stay warm in anything. Guess not. They said one time when the day was really sultry and hot, and it'll do that in the mountains sometime, and then suddenly the wind will shift, and all of a sudden it just gets colder and colder. Then it's raining, and even in the middle of July at those high altitudes, you can get snow. And before too long, the ground is white with snow. He had to take shelter in some scrub spruce and the sheep wherever they could go when this storm suddenly came down, and then get the sheep moving again afterwards because they'll chill terribly when that water gets through their wool onto their thin skin. He's got to lead on. But every time you go through another storm, every time the good shepherd protects you again from some predator, every time the grass again turns green or the water is clear and clean and you realize looking back, he led me by the best way, your confidence grows. Your faith is stronger. You have more of an overflow for those around you. It's all right. I'm okay. My shepherd Jesus knows the way. You know the way. You've been here before, leading me to heaven's door. You warned me, too, of danger and sin by your word and spirit living within. Financial reverses, sorrow, and death, I know I'm safe. And every breath, I hear your promise strong and true. I'll never leave nor forsake you. We pray. Dear shepherd of my heart, I look back with gratitude at the way you have guided me in the past. I look ahead with confidence, secure and certain that beyond the dark shadows of this valley lie lush green meadows to walk ever closer with you. Lord, my shepherd, I don't ask whether I can cope, but only how. How shall I pass through the calamities that come my way? By your word and sacraments, O Lord, even in the deepest, darkest valley, help me to follow you in hope, safe and secure, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.